There could truly be no greater song of exaltation than that one song, to praise God, to offer unto Him our worship. You know, many people today are actually accepting changes that should not be made, but there are some changes that should be made. I want to talk to you this morning a little bit about the subject of change. Just out of curiosity, how many of you like change? None. I'm the only one that raised my hand. No. You know, most people really do not like change. There are some changes that are good, but very few like changes. There are some changes that would not be good. You know, you and I can either move forward with our life, or we can go backward. You and I have the control in our life. We do. You and I can either make the change for the better, or we can make a change for the worse. You cannot stay where you are. You are not static. You're either growing in your relationship with God, or you are diminishing in your relationship with our Father who is in heaven. You and I need to exercise, however, change management. We need to know that we are the managers of our life with the help of God. And He actually encourages us to make certain changes in our life. If I were to ask you right now, have you made any changes in your life as of late? What would you say? I hope you can say that you have. You know, the gospel of Jesus Christ is being proclaimed around the world more than ever before because of technology. As I preach this message, I'm telling you, people all over the world have the opportunity to hear it by the way of technology. They do. People hear it on the internet, just as you will hear it as well. But God calls upon us to make change, and maybe as you look at your life, right now is the time to invoke change. Right now is the time for you to make the changes that need to be made. There are some who talk about changes that are not taking place. How many of you believe in global warming? None of you either. Yeah. You know, Al Gore actually came up with the concept of global warming. Do you realize that this summer in East Texas, it has been one of the coolest summers on history? I was talking with a meteorologist the other day. Isn't that amazing? Aren't you thankful for all the cooler weather and the rain that you and I have been experiencing? But when it comes to change, many of us have to pull back the curtain of time and look forward into the future and realize that with the help of God, you and I can make changes that need to be made. But as I said, there are some things that do not change. God says in the book of Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, I am the Lord thy God, and I change not. Aren't you thankful that Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever, according to Hebrews 13 and verse 8? He doesn't change. He doesn't. In the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 17, the scripture says that every good and perfect gift is from the Father, listen to this, who does not change like the shifting shadow. But Jesus is the same, will always be the same. His word does not change. It doesn't. It is sealed in a book that is called the Holy Bible. It is. And it will always remain because Jesus taught in the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter and verse 35, that heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will not pass away. He said also in the book of Psalms 119 and verse 89, David did, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Now, we got a lot of change artists in the world today that want to change the wrong things and make them right. And they want to change the right things that God has established and they become wrong. There are some things that must change in our lives if we are to honor God. And if you truly want to change your life, you must first be willing to change your mind. Do you realize that change in your life comes as a result of a mental stimulation, a mental change that takes place first? It does. You don't change. You know why? Because the Bible says that your mind, whatever you think in your heart, you are, or you will become. The time is fulfilled, the Bible says in Mark 1 and verse 15, Christ speaking, fulfilled that the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Listen to what he says. You know what that word repent really means? It means to change. The Greek word is the word metanoia or metanoia, which actually means to make changes in your life. Now that's what Christ is saying unto you. It would read, change and believe the gospel. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. People talk about all the time how they're going to make those changes one of these days. One of these days I'll do what God wants me to do. I want to tell you that the clock is now ticking. It is. And the hands on that clock one day will stop. It will. They will. And they will stop for you, and they will stop for me. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you a Christian? You know, there are always people who gather among us that are not children of God, that are not Christians. But are you a Christian? And here's another question. If not, why not? If God is going to judge us based according to his word that does not change, and that we must be Christians if we're going to go to heaven, then why are we not Christians, folks? Why wouldn't we want to be a child of God? It gets back to the question, why are you afraid of change? And I know you don't like change, because when I asked you a moment ago, how many of you like change? Very few of you raise your hand. Do you know that's true in our spiritual walk as well? If you are a Christian, but you reject Christ's teachings, you are not a Christian. You're not. Now, I know people say, well, you know, I think a Christian can believe anything that he wants to believe, to do anything that he wants to do. That's erroneous. God never teaches that. We don't have that kind of liberty to do that. We do not. It is good to be a Christian and know it. But it's better to be a Christian and show it. I'm so thankful for people in this church who demonstrate their Christianity by the way they live their lives. It is not a matter of being something at the church building on Sunday morning, and then they head out to the workplace and they suddenly change their demeanor. They change their values. They change their mores. They change the way that they were on Sunday. And you know what I hear people talk? Sometimes people say, you know, I know so-and-so, and they're a member of the Crockett Road Church family. And you know what? They're just some of the finest people I believe I've ever met. And you know what? That is refreshing to your preacher's ears. Don't be afraid to change when the change is for the better and in keeping with the will of God. You know what? There's some. This is like some Christians over here. I mean, they will not budge. They're not going to change. Now, there's some change that you and I have liberty to make in life. We can change the time of our worship service. We can't change how God tells us to worship. But we can change the time, can we not? Sure we can. We can meet at 3:30 in the afternoon or whatever. We don't have to meet at 10:30. There are some changes wherein God gives us the liberty to make. We can sing different songs. We can have a prayer at the end of the service and that be it. We can offer the Lord's Supper at the end of the service instead of at the beginning. God doesn't speak with great specification about things like that. But there are some things that we're just not at liberty to change. But we have to be willing to change, folks. We do. Life is about change. It's about making life better for all of us. So what we do this morning and what we need to do is just turn off our autopilot life, and that's the way a lot of people live their lives, and start living with intention. And, you know, a lot of people are creatures of habit. They live their lives by habit. They get up at the same time every morning. How many of you get up at the same time every morning? None of you? Few of you? How many of you are ever late to work? You wouldn't be working for me. But I'm telling you, there are a lot of people. Did you hear that, Laura Lee? A lot of people are late to work all the time. They are. A lot of people need to make some changes in their lives. There are some things in life over which you have no control. Some things only you can change. Isn't it amazing sometimes? The things that we can control, but the things that we can't. And one of the happiest moments in your life will be when you have the courage to let go of what you can't change. I see people sometimes going through life just trying to change other people. Sometimes I see young couples and they get married and maybe certain people are not what they think they ought to be when they marry them, but they come into the marriage altar with this idea, well, I'll change him. While the whole time he's saying, well, I'll change her. And you know what you've got? You've got confusion at the very beginning of a marriage and problems that will ensue. We need to let go of the things that we can't change and start focusing on the things that we can change. Now, what can you change in your life? There are things that I want to share with you this morning that I believe that you really ought to consider. When we talk about dealing with change, we need to understand that we must consider ourselves strangers and pilgrims in this life. According to the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13 and 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, Peter refers to us as pilgrims. You and I are strangers to this life. We are. This is not our home. This is not where we're going to dwell forever. That's why we need to make adjustments in our life for the new life and for the home that we will have in heaven. You know what a pilgrim is? A pilgrim would pitch his tent and he would live at one place and then he would pick his tent up and move on somewhere else. That's what you and I are in this life. And as pilgrims, sometimes we find ourselves as Christians, camouflage Christians. That gets back to what I was saying a moment ago. Sometimes people who are Christians on Sunday are non-Christians on Monday. They do not live up to the testimony of their faith on a given Sunday. They go out and live like the rest of the world. They live ungodly lives. And then they come back up on Sunday and they start singing praise unto God as if they are real and genuine. They're nothing more than camouflage Christians. And they start changing real easily. Just like that chameleon. Some people are wolves in sheep's clothing. Now, I didn't say that. Jesus said it. He said, they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. They wear a mask, and they confuse a lot of people. Jesus said to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 4 and verse 17. You know, Jesus had something to say about the camouflaged Christian. In Matthew 12 and 33, he said, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit, listen, his fruit corrupt. Listen to that. Jesus said to the church in Revelation, because you're neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. You can't say one thing and then do another. You can't. You know what? Your actions and your statements have to be on the same side of the fence. They do. Both sides. That's what God says. So, are you a Christian? who acknowledges Jesus with your lips, but you deny him by your actions, again, you are not a Christian. You are a liar. You are. And again, I didn't say that. God did. Let me tell you something else that you need to know. When you consider yourself, attending church every Sunday does not make you a Christian. But how you live your life outside the walls of this building and out of the pews tells the whole story, doesn't it? It does. It really is, as we often say, a lifestyle. Now, Christ said it this way in Matthew 6, 16 through 18. Moreover, brethren, when you fast, Jesus didn't, he didn't command you to fast. He commended it all right when it's done in the right way. But he said, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. But verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward you openly. I would, brethren, I'm going to tell you this, the honest truth. I would rather be known in life as an honest sinner than a lying hypocrite. There is nothing that is more despicable in the eyes of Jehovah God than one who is given over to hypocrisy. And if you don't believe that you have sinned, you need to go back and read the Bible in the book of Romans 3 and 23. Paul says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. But when you deal with change, as we were talking about a moment ago, and we consider ourselves as pilgrims and strangers in this life, how do you view your future life? Where will you be when life is over for you here? You've heard me say that many times, but I ask it again this morning. Where will you be? And I want to tell you that life goes on even when you die. It will. One of these days, wherever you choose for your remains to be carried, to whichever mortuary, whether it's down to the Rome Funeral Home, Bailey Foster, Harrington, wherever you choose, you know what? Your body will be incarcerated in what they call a sarcophagus. That's where we get the word coffin, by the way. But your remains will be interred there. But life goes on for you. You know how I know that? Because the Word of God says that when we die, that our body returns to the dust of the ground from whence it came, but our spirit returns unto God who gave it. And all of those in this life who leave this world, their spirit right now is in the presence of God if they are children of our Father who is in heaven. The Bible says of death in the book of Hebrews 9:27 that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. Listen to it again. It is an appointment that you and I will keep. And let me tell you something about this appointment. You will not break this appointment. You won't cancel this appointment. You won't be late for this appointment. And you will not be early for this appointment. Let me tell you something, folks. According to the will of God, God is never late and he is never early. But after you die, you will meet your maker. You will meet God. David said in Psalms 139 and verse 16 of the Father who is in heaven, he said, you saw me before I was born. Listen to that. David says, God knew us before we were even born. He knew us in our mother's womb. The Bible says of John the Baptist that he leaped within his mother's womb. David says, every day of my life was recorded in your book. John alludes to those in the book of Revelation chapter 20. He says, every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Listen to that. Isn't that amazing that God knows what we're going to do before we do it? God knew that you would be here before you knew you'd be here. God knows where you're going to lunch. You may not know at this moment, but God already knows. He does. Isn't that amazing? That's the most fantastic thing in my mind. It is. God, that's what it means when we say that God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. And when we deal with change, you and I are eternal beings. What about your future? Genesis chapter 2 tells us that we are eternal beings. But in Revelation 21, based upon what the Bible says about heaven, do you really want to go there? You know, sometimes I wonder whether people really want to go to heaven. Remember the old country music song several years ago that everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die? People talk about how much they love God and how much they want to go to heaven, but do you really want to go there? Do you really want to go to heaven? But number three, what happens to me if I'm not a Christian when I die? If I have not made the change from being a non-Christian to becoming a Christian, to not being right with God, to becoming right with God, what's going to happen to me? Well, the Bible is so profound in telling us the answer to that question. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through 9, Paul says to the brethren, to the church at Thessalonica, he says, I want you to know, brethren, to you who are troubled, rest with us. For the Lord Jesus Christ shall descend from heaven in flaming fire with vengeance and taking vengeance on those that do not know God and those that do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, you and I, whether you believe this or not, it's true. It doesn't circumvent the fact. You and I are on a journey to eternity. We are. You and I, again, are eternal beings, and we're going to an eternal God. For in the book of Psalms chapter 90, the Bible says, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And you and I are on our journey to eternity. And the time to start making preparation is right now. It is. Right now. You know why people are always late sometimes? It's because they don't give themselves time to get where they're going. And you know what? That is a serious matter with God, isn't it? You remember when God told Noah to build the ark? Matter of fact, Noah preached 150 years. Think about that. Trying to get people to get right with God. And nobody got right with God. And finally, the rain came from heaven, the first time we have evidence that it ever rained at all upon the earth. But before that, the water came up from the ground and watered the earth. Think about it. But God told Noah to build the ark. Everybody else says, an ark? What do we need an ark for? What are you talking about, waters flooding the earth? They knew that was an impossibility, and they thought it was an improbability also. But God told Noah to do it, and he did it. And can't you imagine the people on the outside of that ark who were beating to get in, but they waited until it was too late? Let me tell you something. All of us make mistakes. But if we fall, we have to dust ourselves off and start all over again. You know, there have been a lot of times in my life, perhaps, when I've made mistakes, and, you know, we all make them. Then we have to start again. We do. And we have to make those changes that are for the better. And the changes that are consistent with God's Word. And I'm going to tell you this morning, people that say, well, I just don't have the power to change. Yes, you do. You do. And with God's help, you can. Just because you don't see a way doesn't mean that God doesn't have a way. You know, when the children of God stood at the brink of the Red Sea, and you remember God had liberated from Egyptian bondage from Pharaoh, and now they're out there all by themselves, I mean thousands of them, and they're facing the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army is behind them. They had no anticipation in their minds at all that God was going to part the waters of that sea. But they came up, they thought it was sudden death, sure death. And they stood at the brink of that water, and Moses stretched out his rod across the sea, and he said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." God had revealed it unto Moses what he was going to do, but the people were in the dark. And all of a sudden, the waters of the Red Sea parted, and there they are, ready to cross over. Sometimes, as I said, just because we don't see our way clear, and that there is even a way, God does provide it. He does. God says to us, "Don't worry, I will make a way for you." And it doesn't have to be thousands of people, just you. God makes a way for you. He does. And the way that he makes for us to come to him is through the simple act of baptism or immersion into Christ. People don't understand that. They didn't understand why God told Moses to make an ark. But God says, "Build an ark to the saving of your house." Now, God tells us, Jesus said it again in the book of Mark 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." He commissioned the disciples to go into all the world, Matthew 28. He said, "And teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." And in every case of New Testament conversion in the book of Acts, they all submitted to New Testament baptism. They didn't question it, and they said, "God, we just don't see how that's going to be the way." God said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me." And God says that we have to be willing to take the next step, because we're going into eternity, like it or not. Your life won't end here. Now, it'll either end in a devil's hell or it'll end in heaven. And all of us have the choice to make the change that is necessary to ensure our home in heaven. If you died today, do you know? Do you really know? Beyond a shadow of a doubt where you would be in eternity. That's a tough question for us sometimes to answer, isn't it? But do you know that if you were to die today, that you'd be with God? Do you really know that? There is one question that we must all answer. If I died tonight, where will I spend eternity? When your spirit returns to God, and your body is carried down to the mortuary, what will happen? Let me ask it again, that same question. If I die tonight, where will I spend eternity? Will you leave your family to grieve your passing? We all grieve. But you know what? Paul said there is no grief like losing someone who's not a child of God. He said, "Sorrow not as those who have no hope." People on this earth, you may not like change, and you may not like the preacher talking about change, but I'm going to tell you something, folks. People on this earth hate to hear that word, repent, change. But those in hell will wish that they could hear it just one more time. Where are you going to spend your eternity? Where will you be when it's all over here? You have a choice. Heaven or hell? And as I said at the onset of my lesson this morning, that you and I have the controls. You do. Where you live your life in eternity is up to you. But I'll tell you that there is no second chance in death. Faith in Jesus Christ is so important. What you do with Jesus is so important. Because you see, the judgment day is coming. And again, whether you like it or not, you'll stand before the great judge of the earth. You will. And on that judgment day, your opportunity to answer the question will all be gone. And the question on that day will not be, what will you do with Jesus? But what will he do with you? Every one of us are making a hasty journey to the grave. We all start out young. We progress along the way. But we will eventually go to the grave. We will. Where are you along your path? You know, the Bible says there is a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to its brink. In a moment, we're going to sing the song, Just As I Am. And that song says, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. You can come just as you are, but you must leave a different person, changed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Where will you spend your eternity? Where will you be when you get where you're going? Are you willing this morning to make the change? That's up to you. Let us stand and let us sing.